Welcome to No Driving Gloves, the Car Talk Authority, where experience, knowledge, and controversy share the same seat. Enjoy the ride. Now your hosts, John and Derek.
Hey, what's going on? Yabba dabba doo. One of these days I'll figure out an opening for this show, just like I got the ending for the show, except now we've got it all confused.
It's not
How
that.
How you doing? You know me, I got to make everything as complicated as possible.
Clearly.
You know, I need a simple color printer for the house, and I have to go out and buy this fancy dancy, you know, commercial office grade, blah, 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 blah.
Well, you want quality print jobs, you know?
Yes, I do.
The theme music ends. You switch over to the live feed. They see our lovely faces. And you just say something to the effect of, all right, welcome again, no driving gloves nation. I don't know. See, I'm not even doing good at it. No driving gloves community. It is harder than you think. Welcome back to another week of No Driving Gloves. John and Derek are here, and we're going to have a great evening talking about something related to cars.
Cars. See, even Jason stuttered. He says, He couldn't even get a good intro out in the, you know, one take in the beginning. I can't even get a sentence out in five takes in the beginning.
Even our listeners cannot handle the greatness that is No Driving Gloves.
He saw somebody wearing driving gloves this week. Well, he obviously doesn't take a gloves off approach to the automotive hobby.
Ooh. I was just going to say, what were they driving? And we just got the results. At a gas station, driving a new Buick SUV. Oy.
Are you sure those weren't golf gloves and he wasn't a Tiger Woods fan?
Oh, good question.
Yeah, see, I'm throwing out all those other sports.
Are the new Buick SUVs coming with driving gloves? Maybe that's just what you get when you buy one.
Well, it's not your father's Buick. Oldsmobile, whatever. Grandfather's Buick.
It's not your grandfather's Buick.
So I want to put an invite out to anybody in the gasoline petroleum industry and explain gas prices to me. I don't care how expensive gas is. I'm not worried about that. I don't want you to justify and tell me all the taxes and that. I'd love to do an episode on taxes. But why in the same city, and I'm bitching here in Alabama, and some people are going to go, whoa, I'd love to pay that, is gas $3.43 a gallon? And then I drive to a different area of the city, and gas is $2.97 a gallon. How do we have this 50 cent disparity in the same city with the same taxing body, same regulations, everything? And to be honest, the cheaper gas is farther from the refinery. I just don't get it. In the last 2 days, I found two stations I could buy gas for under $3 a gallon. And everywhere else, and we all know I do some extensive driving, it's $3.35 to $3.45 a gallon. And it just pisses me off. I want somebody to explain it to me. So if you know that answer and you can come on.
You know, John, how you go to one grocery store and something costs full price, and you go to another grocery store and they've got it on sale that week. I'm pretty sure it's the same principle. They just don't put up the sale sign. Because if you notice, if you really pay attention, a lot of times it rotates from gas station to gas station. Sometimes that gas station over there will be 50 cents cheaper. And then in 2 weeks, the gas station that was expensive will be cheaper. And the one that was cheap will be more expensive. I think they all get together and just decide who's going to have the cheap gas for a week or two. And then they rotate it around.
Isn't that like called price
fixing? Purely speculative.
That's like price fixing. That's illegal.
No, it's just like grocery stores that have sales. Some have sales, some don't.
You know, Amazon's getting sued over price fixing. And yes, Jason, I use the Gas Buddy app. I use Upside, but I drive pretty much the same routes and I know what gas stations. And right now, the gas stations that are typically the cheapest are the most expensive. So I don't know.
You got to be careful how you say that, John. People be like, hey, do you got Gas Buddy? Or, hey, do you got gas, buddy? Yeah, you figure out where you put the comma there.
No. Well, I got both. So.
It's useful all over the country. Okay, good. We're not talking about the Gas Buddy app.
If it's actually updated, I hate the ones that are updated. Or the... I was talking to a station once and their job was to update Gas Buddy for the gas station across the street, increasing their price and lying about it. So, I won't say where that was, Huntsville, Alabama, but
oh, he said.
So Derek, I brought something up to you a couple of weeks ago and I asked you before the show and I should have waited till the show. And if any of the listeners know the answer, let us know so we don't embarrass ourselves when we walk into the store. But I was listening and Lowe's sells Craftsman now, right?
I believe so. I haven't. Oh, yeah, they do. Yes, they do. Yeah.
I was trying to take a break of me talking to give some, you know, so I'm not talking for 5 minutes straight.
Well, I'm trying to figure out where you're doing the thing where you go all over the place and you can't stay on one topic.
Well, we cover a bunch of topics in the beginning and then we jump into the meat and potatoes. But this is just a helpful hint. If it does work, if somebody tries it, and I think Derek's going to try it, and if I ever dig out my tools, I might try it. See, now I can go on to a whole nother tools topic. But supposedly, Lowe's will honor your lifetime warranty on Craftsman tools. Heard a podcast where they were telling a story about something being returned and et cetera. And even though it wasn't made anymore, the Lowe's provided a number. They contacted Craftsman and Craftsman was able to provide the warranty replacement via mail with just using some photos.
Okay. I'm going to jump in so you don't have to talk. So I just Googled it because I hadn't thought to look it up. And the first thing that comes up is the full statement from Lowe's Corporate Communications. We will honor all lifetime warranties, no matter where the Craftsman hand tool was purchased. We ask that customers bring in the item and we will replace it if we have the product.
And that's exactly what we needed the confirmation of the Googles. It's going to be interesting when the Googles go away here in the next couple of years.
Just going to have to get all your information on TikTok, John.
TikTok and AI. You ask your artificial intelligence or augmented intelligence or whatever. I think Watley came up with another name for it the other day, but I can't remember.
Haven't we learned that augmented things get us in trouble?
I just watch all these movies and I don't know, you know, look at all the stuff that Star Trek pioneered that now exists. And now we're doing it in reverse. The movie showed us the artificial intelligence and the replicators. What show was that that had all the replicators?
Star Trek.
No, I was thinking that was maybe Stargate SG-1. Well, let's get back to cars. Did we have a topic for tonight, Derek, or am I just going to bounce all over the place?
I think we have a topic, and I think it's the topic is don't be a sucker when you're buying a car.
Not a sucker. I just look for a good deal.
Yes. But is it really a good deal, John, or are you being scammed? That's the question.
There aren't scammers out there. Everybody's honest in this world.
Oh, man. I mean, I've got like 50 of my cars up for sale right now. Cars you didn't even know I have.
I'll make you a heck of a deal, but you've got to pay me in Google gift cards or Roblox gift cards. I don't take cash.
Okay. Yeah. I'm good with that. I got this really nice 1998 Chevy Silverado, four-wheel drive. It's only got like 36,000 miles on it. I'm looking for $1,000 for it. It's pristine. It's been in a garage all its life. You can find like five others like it listed in different states for the same price. So, you know, if you really want to look somewhere else.
No, I was kind of looking at a $2,300 Aston Martin DB8.
That's a steal. You should grab it.
Yeah. Just kind of wondering.
Do you have to send the gentleman a code?
No, actually, he wants me to pay him via, what's that one app? Zelle.
Yeah.
That way it's a nice secure transaction. But you can't.
You know, what's even more secure, just give him your bank account number and routing number and login information. He could just direct deposit.
No. I learned from all the crime shows, even the criminals, when they're transferring money electronically, they push the laptop to the other criminal and the other criminal enters all their banking information and then the hundreds of millions of dollars change hands. Even the criminals don't exchange bank account numbers.
Fair. I'll give you that.
So now I guess we're going to kind of talk a little bit about
not getting
classic scammed. car selling scams, various ways, things to watch out for. And I think most of us are smart enough. Matter of fact, I was chatting with Brandy before the show, telling her about the topic, and she worked a couple of decades of her life as a fraud investigator, and she just shakes her head at some of the stupid things. And you wonder if you have to have empathy for some of these people. It's kind of like you said, Derek, you've got that Chevy Silverado for sale with what, like 3,600 miles on it?
36,000. Yeah.
Now, that's a K series, isn't it? That's a four-wheel drive, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually a Z71 packaged. Yeah.
On an 87, right?
No, I said a 98.
98, oh.
Yeah.
I thought you had a square body for sale. Well,
I might. I can go back and check my marketplace account. I might have one up for sale. Yeah.
$1,500. It just sounds so reasonable. I don't get people that, you use your brain a little bit. Oh, there's all kinds of, I don't know. Do we get into?
Well, I mean, the first thing to understand is exactly what we're talking about. If the vehicle seems too good to be true at too low of a price, then it's too good to be true. No one out there, especially in the economy we're in right now and the market we're in right now with used vehicles, because new vehicles are so freaking expensive. No one out there who is selling used vehicles on the internet in any way, shape or form is not paying attention and dumb enough to sell a low mileage, well-kept vehicle for under value, and especially value that is ridiculously low.
Now, just before the show, I was reading on Facebook, and it was a story about this 17-year-old pizza delivery guy, and he pulls up to his house in a brand new Porsche. Well, would his parents mind? Well, of course they did. And they asked him, where did he get it? Because they know his Pizza Hut salary wasn't going to pay for this brand new Porsche. and he went and he explained this woman that he delivered a pizza to sold it to him for $25. And the parents can, where did this woman live? And they went and saw the woman, and, you know, she was selling it for $25 because her husband, you know, had contacted her that morning when she thought he was in Florida, but he was in Hawaii with his mistress and wasn't coming home, and said, sell the car and send me the money. See, those deals are out there. That sounds like such a legit story.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We've all run into that, right? Yeah.
I see it all the time, but it was on Facebook. It had to be true. And I mean, we can use that. Those deals are there, and it's just so great when you're going through, you know, Facebook Marketplace and you stumble across a John Deere tractor with a backhoe and a bucket loader and, you know, a 52-inch mowing deck and all this, and you can pick it up for $1,700, less than a riding mower at Lowe's. You know, just sometimes these deals are there.
I mean, now granted, there are a few times that those deals are there, and it's very likely that the VIN number is scratched off the car and maybe pieces are cut off that can be identified. So, you know, I mean, yeah, I guess they're out there.
we can sit here and we can joke about the price and how expensive, and oh, he can buy it for $1,000 when you know it's a, you know, $60,000 car or whatever. What are some other telltale things that you see when you're going through and you're looking at these ads that maybe it's priced legitimately, but can you take it as truth? You know, what are some of those red flags you see?
Well, I mean, reading the description is pretty important. I mean, you want to read the description very carefully and look for anything that sounds odd in that, right? So, you know, especially if they're sometimes in the descriptions, they'll put information on like payment method. And if it's pretty much anything other than, you know, like cash, check, or, you know, something that is seems normal, it's probably going to be suspicious. As John said, you know, any of the cash apps that are out there. I mean, if you're buying some, you know, if you're on Marketplace and you're buying a kid's toy from, you know, somebody, and, you know, you're buying it for your kid, and they're like, oh, you know, when you grab it, you know, Venmo me $25. That's nothing. But when you're talking about thousands of dollars, be wise. You know, those apps are very easy to use to swindle people out of money. What is it that I don't use any of them? I don't use Venmo or any of those cash payment apps.
Venmo, Cash App, Zelle.
It's one of them I read about is that people will ask you to pay them via the like friends and family option. And there's the problem with that is there's like no way to get the money back. If it's actually a scam because you chose that it was friends and family, you have like no option to actually contest the money and claim that it was a scam. So
you know, that's PayPal that does that.
Oh, sorry, PayPal. I don't use them, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that one, you do it friends and family. You save the seller the 2% or 3% buyer's fee. But hey, if I ever start that other podcast, you're going to hear me bitch about that 3% credit card charge. But
I thought you itched about it.
It could be. It could be the itch. But it's
and Jason brings up what I was joking about earlier, that if you went on my Facebook account and clicked on the 98 Silverado, which I don't really have listed people, you would see it in five different states. Yeah, if you click on the thing and click on the seller, here's a good thing. If you're on Marketplace, I always go and look at the seller's profile. Like you can get to the seller's profile on Facebook, go in there and look and just see what kind of person they are, see what they've sold in the past. As Jason says, if they've got the thing listed in like 20 cities that are all in different states, it's a scam. I mean, it's not, they're not, they don't have the vehicle. Okay. They're scamming money in multiple states. So another great way to think about, you know, how to check into a person, especially on Marketplace, you can usually see at least part of their profile without being their friend and see exactly what kind of upstanding citizen they are in our country.
Going into it a little bit more, you know, part of this topic was inspired by a newsletter that I get from the Auto Appraisal Group. And full disclosure, I used to be an agent for the Auto Appraisal Group and did pre-purchase inspections, appraisals, et cetera, for them for almost two decades. And actually, I'm considering maybe trying or re-enlisting with them because I kind of enjoyed doing that.
Hey, do you get your old handle back?
Weren't what's you the my old handle?
Appraisal man? Weren't you the secret appraisal man?
Yeah. Secret appraisal man.
Yeah.
003. But it gets me. And I mean, I think COVID really opened this up for people because everybody all of a sudden got comfortable buying things online. Oh, we'll order this car. We can buy this. We can get three cases of toilet paper. And we got to a point that the car dealers didn't have cars. So you just, you know, you would find something and you would buy it online and you go get it at whatever dealer and you just learn to trust. And I think the scammers really, really figured that out. And that people are gullible. And if you give them a good enough deal and present them something, that they'll just buy it without checking it out. I know a guy that buys very expensive cars. He's usually buying from reputable dealers. That helps. But sometimes he doesn't. And he'll buy a car, and he's an attorney. So he's got that in his court. But he'll get a car and pay to have it delivered. And we can talk multiple state delivery in that. And if he gets it and he doesn't like it, then he just sends it back. And I guess his time's too valuable because you're paying a couple thousand dollars to ship it to you, a couple thousand dollars to ship it back.
Yeah.
How much money are you making that you can't buy a plane ticket and fly and look at it or hire?
I was going to say, it'd be cheaper to hire somebody. And that's sight unseen is a terrible idea. As John said.
Especially when it's coming to a classic car and somebody who's extremely picky on his vehicles.
I got to jump in. Thanks for the comment, Adam. I guess I owe you that check that I've been promising you.
Yeah, I think he saw last week's where we got the John Viviani as a hero from Drew.
Yeah, maybe he knew I was feeling a little left out. So
yeah, and Derek was crying about that after the show. But when I was with AAG, Auto Appraisal Group, and this isn't an ad for Auto Appraisal Group. There's a lot of companies that do this. You know, Dave Keeney is really famous and he flies everywhere and does pre-purchase inspections and. Just, you know, there's a lot of companies that do it. I did it for Houston Auto Appraisers and things like that. Just a couple $100 you can send somebody. And I'll be honest, most of the time when I went, the buyer wasn't concerned about the condition of the car. He was pretty certain about the conditions of the car. Sometimes you were checking serial numbers and that, you know, so is it a numbers matching Corvette? And that's a whole nother question. We're going to want a numbers matching Corvette. Well, what numbers do you want to match? And then they go, I don't know. I want it to match. So, but that's neither here nor there and a topic for another show. They just wanted to know the car existed. And then they wanted to see the title, you know, and we get a picture of the title or a picture of the lien or something so that, you know, a bank, you know, controlled some of this. And then the person was real and the ID matched, you know, either the bank papers or the title. And it's simple things to check. And for $300 or $400, you can have that done, maybe $500 in this world. But it's a heck of a lot cheaper than wiring somebody $72,000 and boom, you know, nothing shows up, or something shows up that still has a lien on it that all of a sudden you find a bank's coming to repossess when you go to register it. It's simple, you know, it's, I want to say it's simple things, but a lot of times it's that hidden stuff. I have another friend, and you know, this is another reason to have a pre-purchase done. Somebody stole his ad for his car, and he had a very, very unique car, purchased it at one of the major auction houses. And he had it listed for sale. And as a matter of fact, I was hired to go do a pre-purchase inspection on it, et cetera, which made it really easy because I knew the car and that and disclosed it to the client. But he also got calls from people about his car for sale, but they weren't his ad. It wasn't his price. You know, oh, the car exists. And then, you know, you get this call and go, oh yeah, this car, blah, 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 blah. And then, okay, you make an arrangement and then you send your email to this guy and all of a sudden you're wiring money to somebody else. And now this guy still owns his car and you think you bought it off of him. And, you know, you just, it's amazing the scammers out there and how ahead of the game they are. They're ahead of law enforcement. They're ahead of laws. They're ahead, you know, they're ahead of the game in every way, shape, or form. But, you know, simple vehicle history checks with, you know, Carfax or auto check, checking for liens, checking for, or just checking out the seller, research a seller, you know, even for $50, you can do one of those people searches and find out if the seller's got any felonies or actually exists or lives at the address that the car's supposedly at.
You know, and actually, I mean, going on that topic though, John, like sometimes you don't have to pay for the searches. If you know the area the person lives in or supposedly lives in, right? You can search the local jails, all of the local, you know, jail sites. You can search the inmates and you can search county records in a lot of counties for felony activity, things like that. You can see if their name comes up. Like, you know, hopefully if you've got that bad feeling about the deal that it's a scam, you just walk away. Don't waste a bunch of time digging. If you really want to go ahead, if it's like something you just gotta have, but you know, if you get that gut feeling, you're probably right. You know, the old saying, you know, go with your gut, because your gut's almost 99% all of the time correct. And you know, so yeah, check into it, definitely.
That's exactly where I was going to go for my next thing, is trust your gut. You know, you might feel it's a good deal and you can't pass it up and you got to have it, and trust your gut. Your gut is so often right. And
unless you had, unless you had a lot of fast food the night before, and it might be this. Yeah. Fast food.
You had two Big Macs from Mickey D's followed by Taco Bell. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And Adam again chimes in kind of what we said, is Google image search is a paramount when buying a car. Matter of fact, I'll pop that one up on the screen. It's so simple. And I'll be honest, look at some of our cover art. It's lifted from Google, and I just make sure you don't lift it from Getty. Getty will go after you for tons of money. But
yeah, let's not get on the Getty subject.
But that's, you know, it's real easy.
For three shows.
But it's real easy to, what do I want to say? You're going to buy a Renault R5 Turbo. say, and I'm doing this because the Lane sold one a few years ago. The Lane has one. There's pictures of it on the internet. You do, but you see one all of a sudden on Facebook Marketplace, or believe it or not, Craigslist is still out there. And I almost trust Craigslist now more than I do Facebook Marketplace or on eBay. And there's this R5 Turbo, and you do what Adam says, and you run the pictures through a Google image search, and you find out they're all taken from the Lane website. You know, it's a real simple thing to do, and it's free. You know, some of this stuff, it takes 5 or 10 minutes, and I don't know anybody who has more money than, or has enough money that they just don't care. Heck, you know, Seinfeld got caught in a car scam a few years ago with a Porsche 356, and his cars are well researched, and, you know, he's one of the foremost Porsche experts in the world, and he potentially got taken advantage of. Somehow that all settled out, but you just, well, that's, I mean, and I'm saying an expert can get taken advantage of. It's so easy for somebody who's just buying their dream car, you know, they go out and get a home equity loan and go out and buy their Chevelle SS or something. It's so easy when you're doing, you know, it happens to the best of us. It easily happens to the casual person.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially somebody that's, you know, if you're younger and getting into the collector car hobby, or you know, even if you're older and all of a sudden you want to start collecting vehicles, and Adam's going exactly where I'm going to go. It's easy to get caught up in the moment, and you know, this is No Driving Gloves. We like to talk about car related topics, but guys, this is not only happening in the car world. These scams are going everywhere. And I think I've mentioned it on the show before. My wife is a collector of canning jars. So, you know, what a lot of people will refer to as the old Mason jar. And about 2 to 3 years ago, all of a sudden we saw these weird marketplace posts and, you know, different, you know, ads going up on different, you know, fruit jar collecting websites, and these very, you know, commonplace Ball, you know, most famous canning jars, Ball, of course, and you got Kerr and Atlas, and they were jars that are, you know, $3 jars. They're just mass produced, not collectible in any way, not rare. And they were being listed for like $500, $1,000. And people were trying to figure out what was going on. And one of the things that goes on, we did a lot of research and we actually found information from law enforcement. One of the things that goes on when you see some of these ads going up, they're actually completely fake ads. And what is going on is there are drug cartels that are using the ads to launder money. So you also have to be careful to not get caught up in something like that, because a lot of those are being traced by law enforcement. And so, you know, if you see something that seems suspicious, and maybe it's not because it's dirt cheap, but rather it's, you know, it might be priced about right or maybe a little high, but there's something fishy about, like John said, the pictures, or, you know, they're stolen pictures from other sites. There's some other really weird stuff going on behind these scams and things. And it was a real learning curve when we found that out. That was eye-opening.
And I'm going to go there. I don't think we've went there yet on this podcast, but with the advent of AI and your data being out there, like Derek was alluding to, his wife collects canning jars. And once AI gets a little bit of your profile or catches on and buys some of that Facebook algorithm and that, AI is going to start creating these ads exclusively for you. And they're going to show up and they're going to get slipped into your Facebook feed. They're going to get slipped into an email to you. And it's a buyer beware on all of this stuff and being careful. And the scammers, they just absolutely rely on the seller's desire to own it right now, the seller's desire to find a good deal, and the seller's being uneducated about the product that they're buying. And yeah, they might put this out to 1,000 people, and 998 of them will go, oh, this is a scam, it's gone. But two people all of a sudden buy this $1,500 truck or whatever. It's worth $3,000 to do this thing that only takes minutes to have an AI thing do, or a computer, anything computer generated. It's not a lot of work to do it. And then you have to keep in mind, we can get into the slave labors and the steel barricaded towers where they just have people creating this and creating this and creating this in third world countries and parts of Asia.
Well, you can
really get into it.
And that's a good point, John, because there was that gentleman about a year or so ago, I think it was, that created a fake, AI image and wrote a whole story behind it, claiming it was a movie car that had been left to linger from some sci-fi type film. And, he was claiming it was a prop, and everybody was like, oh, it's so cool. And it's, this would be an awesome car in a collection. And everybody got caught up in the moment. And then a few people were pointing out, hey, I've kind of reverse searched this image. I've looked through all the movies that I know, movie experts were getting in. They're like, this has never appeared in a movie. And finally the guy came out and he's an AI artist. He did it intentionally to show people that you could be fooled by these AI images. So, there's the next thing that you got to keep an eye out for is, I work at Lane Motor Museum. We have probably somewhere between 40 and 50 one-of-a-kind cars, the only ones that were ever built. We just unveiled a new one to the collection last night. And, these people can go out there and create these AI images and say, oh, this is, a one-of-a-kind car that was built in, Bulgaria in the 1960s, and it's been in a barn in Bulgaria, and it just got pulled out and brought, and it's up for sale. How do you know they're telling the truth? AI is getting extremely, extremely hard to identify. And so there's another thing, because especially with AI, you can create rare one-of-a-kind cars that you can build a story around and fool people with. Not that anyone ever tried to sell it, but think about all the kind of commotion and mystery when, I just blanked on the name of it. The big, Franklin Mint. Was it? Well, I think it was Franklin Mint that came out with the Duesenberg Coupe Simone model that they built, and the guys that designed the model, the whole team designed a whole story behind the car, and people thought it had been a real car, and it never was. And now we have AI technology that's developing these digital images of cars that never existed, and the AI can write the story too. As we go forward, we're going to have to be more and more cautious about these. AI, Adam's in here listening, big Corvette guy, NCM Insurance. Jason's a huge Corvette fan. But some of this AI technology, they could create an image of some of the rarest Corvettes ever built and claim that it's the missing one, and people will go crazy until someone figures out that it's an AI-generated image. So it's going to get dangerous.
And that, you know, that aspect of it is worrisome. But there's the also the other aspect. Jason kind of alludes to it, making sure that they have title in hand before you drive and go see the car. He looked at a car and the buyer said, "Oh, I don't have a title." And the guys made no effort to try to get a title. And it's a car that's new enough, you can't kind of wash it real easily. So, well,
and on that, but how many cars don't have, early cars don't have titles? You know, and there's, you know, there are cars that just don't have titles because they never had them.
And you get into that, and I think when you're looking at a lot of that stuff, especially early cars, I assume they do exist, but I don't think there's a lot of people getting scammed on buying a Model A. But when I bought my...
Yeah, but this one was Henry Ford's personal car.
I think I read something about something like that recently. But when I bought my 74 Lotus Europa and I lived in Virginia, I bought it out of Georgia. And Georgia didn't require titles. Virginia did. It took me almost a year to get Virginia to issue me a title on that car. Now, it might have been easier if I was in Virginia selling that car without a title and somebody in Georgia buys it or somebody in Alabama buys it, because Alabama doesn't require titles on anything 25 years or older. And that's when you kind of have to really go, let's look at some vehicle registrations. Let's look at some insurance records. Let's make sure you've actually owned this car for a period of time, or let's look at some bills of sale and due diligence there. But I want to kind of shift to maybe paying for these things and some of the ways that you can get taken paying them. And while I was using that car Jason was looking at, it's a real car. It exists. Say he went ahead and, "Oh, I looked at it. It's great, blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to go ahead and buy it." And even say there was a title with it. But you're meeting the guy in it.
The Continental GT that he's looking at?
I was trying to allude, not bring the car into it.
Oh, well, he typed it in a minute ago.
Well, I know that. But he meets the guy in a Kmart parking lot. And the guy goes, "Oh, here's the, you know, I got the title, blah, blah, blah." And you transfer some money and maybe you leave with the car, but it's not the guy's car. It's not the guy's title, but you transfer money, or the guy goes, "Hey, you know, here, let me go ahead and enter my bank information into your phone or whatever. And you can, you know, wire me the money." You've got to be careful. Sometimes, you know, anytime you allow people to deposit money into an account or withdraw money into an account, it goes both ways. And if they save that information, say there's keystrokes, you know, he's got a thing that monitors whatever was typed in. He now knows your account number and he can simply go withdraw money out of your account if you, you know, kind of did the transaction on his device, whether it be a computer or whether it be his phone. You do your mobile deposit and everything looks decent. Off a check or a money order, and you take the picture and send it, and then the bank, you know, "Oh, no, there's something wrong with that." And, you know, you're out the money, and I'm saying this is, you know, as you as a seller, poof, the car's gone and the money's gone. I don't even know how you're supposed to, you know, pay for it. I think there's a business out there to
cold, hard cash, John. Cold, hard cash. Greenbacks.
Okay, I give you $10,000, say, for that Z71 pickup that you have for sale that you mentioned at the beginning of the show. I give it to you $10,000 in cash. And I drive away in my truck, blah, 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 all happy. and you call the cops and say, hey, this some bitch just stole my truck. They find the truck. They get arrested. I get arrested. Truck goes back to you. Poof, you disappear with the truck again.
You know, why didn't you get a bill of sale? Why didn't you get the title?
Well, I could have it. I might not have it. You know, I got to have it with me.
Well, that's what we're saying, Johnny. Don't pay the money without the paperwork.
He faked that bill of sale. I can print up a bill of sale on my computer and, you know, pretend you sold me that truck.
Signatures? You forging signatures now, too?
You could do that. I mean, it's not that hard. Who really pays attention to signatures anymore? You know, you do a digital. I bought something with a digital bill of sale. And you sign it on your iPad. And you know, hell, when you go to a new car dealership, most of it's done on a, you know, there's not paper. You just click, 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 click through the iPad. You put one signature in that you scribbled with your finger. That doesn't look the same computer screen to computer screen to computer screen to computer screen. It's, you know, I think it's just, well, where I was going is I think there might be a business out there for somebody to assist with this. You know, you've got to be careful of escrow services because they're fake escrow services. I agree. Oh, why don't you use my escrow service here? You know, MDZ escrow service. This is great. This is one I always use when I'm selling my cars. Deposit your money in there. Once the money's in there, I'll ship it. Once they see that the thing's been shipped, then they'll release the money to me. Well, MDZ escrow services is just something I created. It's my own thing. Hell, it could be my own LLC, you know. Then I just take the money and poof. And I never ship the real car that you actually came and saw. You know, I'm one of those people that, and I've told the story probably before, that back in 2005, 2006, I went and looked at a car. And when I got out of it, I said, if I'm going to buy this, I'm going to buy this other car because I much prefer it. And by the end of the week, my ex-wife had sent me an email and said, hey, you want a trailer? You wanted to get your car trailer. Here's an interesting way. And it came with said car that I wanted, the Caterham. And my reply to her, and this was on a Thursday. We went and looked at the one car on a Saturday. On a Thursday, she sent me the email. My reply email to her was, I'm flying to Fort Lauderdale on Tuesday to look at it. I wanted the car. Everything was right. Everything looked good. But I'm be damned. At the time, it was $18,000, I think, for the car and the trailer. I'm gonna fly down. It was worth the $600 flight, you know, to go down and look at the car. I went down, looked at the car. Everything looked good. We came to an agreement. I flew home, did some vehicle transactions. So I had a way of getting the trailer back and then drove down and got the car and the trailer and, you know, certified cashier's check. And, you know, this was 20 years ago. So, not quite as much fraud, but it still existed. So it's worth it. I mean, if you don't have $18,000 to lose, it's worth spending $600. I mean, if you got $18,000 to spend on a car, it's worth spending $600 to make sure the car is legit. And if you don't have the time to do it, it's worth spending $600 to have some reputable company that's existed that has a track record to take a look. I mean, I'm just...
But Adam,
I can't,
Adam
can't
just brought up, you know, Key Savvy is one of the ones that NCM Insurance recommends. One of the services for safely purchasing and making payment on vehicles across multiple marketplaces. Pulled up their website here, Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, Cars.com, Auto Trader, Car Gurus, and Offer Up. Never heard of Offer Up. Now I got to go look at that. I'm going to probably find more cars now. Thanks, Adam.
Um, I don't know. I'm just amazed at. I listened to a tech show when we mentioned, I've got some information for this show from it before. And the host was saying that somebody came to them, one of their staff members, and said, would you like to buy blank gift cards from me or buy blank gift cards? And the host said, no, I'm not interested. Why do you have these cards? And the person went on to say that their spouse had found a good deal on a truck. And it was on Facebook Marketplace. And the seller wanted them to send them $10,000 in said company's gift cards. That sounds like the most secure, safe, honest transaction to me. You go to Walmart and you got to go there for 10 days because you only buy $1,200 a day in gift cards and buy $10,000 worth of said company's gift cards and then mail them off to this guy so that he'll ship you a truck. Talk totally about legit. Washing.
Yeah. Totally yeah. Legit.
You don't buy anything with gift cards except what the damn gift card was bought for. Whether you buy an Apple card, it's for Apple stuff. If it's a Google card, it's for Google stuff. If you buy a Roblox card, it's for your kid to buy Roblox, or unless you've got a weird hobby. I mean, you buy a Minecraft card, you know, you buy a Ruth Chris Steakhouse gift card, it's to go buy a steak at Ruth Chris. It's not to go buy one at Perry's. And it sure as hell isn't for you to go buy a Rolex with. Yeah.
Hey, I know that Adam's listening, and I know that he's got a really cool Suburban up for sale right now. But just so everybody knows, he only accepts NCM, National Corvette Museum gift cards for payment. So if you want to buy it, you got to buy him a whole bunch of NCM gift cards. So...
He'll also take Lane Motor Museum gift cards too, right?
I don't even think we have gift cards.
Well, and, you better get some because people want to sell cars and accept it.
Exactly. Well, and it's trustworthy because it's an auto museum. So it's auto related, right? So it makes it more trustworthy.
We try to keep this episode a little bit light and humorous, but the stupid things that I see, and you know, part of my day job as the auditing I do, I deal with some gift cards. And the stupid stuff, if Elon Musk sends you a letter and says, hey, could you send me $1,000 in Minecraft gift cards? Because I need to fund my next adventure or invention. He's probably lying to you. Now, granted, with Tesla stock in the last couple of weeks, he might be serious now. But think about it. You know, Jeff Bezos doesn't need you to send him gift cards for Google Play. Probably no, doesn't want you. Amazon probably wants you to send him Amazon gift cards. The stupid ways people are asked to pay for things, and that big one. Will you write me a check for $15,000 for this $10,000 car, and then I'll give you, you know, or I'll write you a check for $15,000 for your $10,000 car, and then you'll give me $5,000 in change because I need the $5,000 in cash to pay the transporter that's going to transport the car for me. You know damn well you're out the car in $5,000 at that point.
Look, at that point, just email your cousin, the Prince of Niger, and, you know, send him the money he needs to reopen your hidden bank account in Africa that has hundreds of thousands of dollars in it that he will then be able to access and send to you.
And Jason's now afraid to look for another car. Dana, you're welcome. I don't know if you're watching tonight.
Yeah, there we go.
Dana, you're welcome.
Yes, all the wives that listen to this show, you're welcome for this evening's podcast.
And I don't know, $35,001 gift cards. I thought the whole game was, you know, a big stack of gift cards, nothing less than a 20. You know, so $7,020 gift card sounds like a better deal, Adam.
It's easier to get the rubber band around it too. Yeah. So you really have the, you know, the gift card roll. Yes. Yes, Adam, you are different.
You realize gangster rap is now classic music.
Is it classic or is it oldies? When does it become oldies? That'll be interesting. When does Snoop Dogg become oldies?
Well, his new girlfriend is kind of old.
Jeez.
Sorry, Martha.
Ouch. So did we cover...
I've bought new cars for less, Jason, just to let you know.
There you go.
I think, you know, I don't know.
Thoroughly discussed the world of scams in the automotive realm.
I think we've discussed it, and hopefully we did it in a way that I know our hardcore listeners are going, what the hell are these guys just talking about? What a waste. But no, I hope we enlightened you a little, brought you some information. And if you found this episode through a Google search, you know, going, oh, I'm buying a car, but you know, be a sucker. Do not, as Yoda would say, yeah. Since this episode comes out the day before May 4th.
Don't. But if you guys do want to send us gift cards, we're always welcome. They're always welcome. Yeah, we feel free to send them to me and John, and we will use them.
Well, we just prefer you to buy us a cup of coffee. Use the QR code in the lower left corner of the screen if you're watching the video. If not, check out the website, nodrivinggloves.com. And there's a link there to buy us a coffee. There's all the back episodes. There's a whole video page for all these live streams that we're doing. I think we're keeping pretty consistent. We're holding to our word. Actually, I was looking at our stats. We have, and it's horrible to say, but it's great to say. Since the beginning, well, actually the end of July last year to now, we have consistently published weekly. And that's something that I've really tried to achieve. It's been a long time since we've been able to do that. And obviously you guys are thanking us with increased listenership. And, oh, Jason needs those coffee cups. I'll see what I can do for you, Jason. I moved and the printing got a little bit behind. And hopefully you guys are enjoying
retail store manager. Let's go.
Yeah. Hopefully you guys are enjoying me from the new studio here. I don't know if you can tell the difference, but I've changed my whole podcast setup. I've listened to Tony Watley. I podcast standing up now. I don't sit down. I'm into this. You're getting emphasis from the belly and not just the fat chubby tummy. So with those wonderful pictures, I'm just going to be out of here. I'll let Derek do the closing. Thank you everybody for joining us.
As always, guys, thanks for listening and thanks for being part of the No Driving Gloves community. As John already said, use the QR code, buy us a coffee, go ahead, give us a like over on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, all those great places. And as I always like to say, if you're enjoying us, help us grow, share the show. And in place of John tonight, get off your ass and go burn some gas.
Derek out.